Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fans Podcast. I'm your host, Peter, and joined this week, as always, by Tom and Donny. How you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you, Donny?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
So we're back after an international break, back discussing the best fantasy game in the land, Scottish fantasy football. So we'll stick with all the stuff we always do. First, we'll go to our league top three. No change at the top. The FPL General is number one with a total score of 254. Number two is Backstreet Boys, Goose Gordon, 249. And third is Atletico Maeda FC, Roy McKen, 245. So change at the top, but still, change at the top three, but still general at the top. Also, the Kevin Van Dien Cup is in full swing. Another podcast host is down. I'm out as well. Only Tom remains. The draw is online. Of course, I will retweet the draw before the next round of game week, so everybody knows who they've got. We're now in the last, is that the last 16? I think it is the last 16, is that right? So last 16, so let's get to nitty-gritty time. So let's go back and discuss the last game week points and score. I'll come to you first, Tom. What was your overall game week score and current rank?
My overall score was 62 points. I had Clark in goals for 3. Defence was Brown for 6. Captain Tav for Stevenson 6, midfield was Spittle for 8, O'Reilly 10, Abada 3, McCowan 2, and up front I had vice-captain Kyogo for 13, Lammers 1, and Simon Murray 6. This gives me an overall rank of 443rd.
Not too bad. Over to you, Donny, score and rank.
Well, I'm a bit further back than that. I played my wild card, as we discussed on the last record. So, although my points total wasn't superb, I'm happy with the setup on my team. So, fingers crossed I can move on from there. So, I had Hemming and goals for 2, Penrice for 2, Captain Taff for 4, Cochran 2, Martin Boyle 5, Lennon Miller 8, Armstrong 0, Cantwell 1, O'Reilly 10, Watkins 2, Vice Captain Kyogo 13. So I had 49 for the game week. I was 1-5-2-4. I moved up 3-8-3 places. I'm 1-1-4-1. So still a bit of work to do, but in a much better place thanks to the wild card.
Just on that, did you check your wildcard score versus a previous team score or did you not?
Oh, I'd have been absolutely hopeless with the previous team.
Right, okay.
An absolute nightmare.
Right, so myself, I had 52 points this week. That was Clark in goals for 3, Penrice 2, which is annoying because I had the Lucas and Penrice as the 2 I'd penciled in, and obviously you go for the 1 this game. Brown for 6, Captain Tavernier 4, Devlin 1, Miller for 8, Turnbull 3, Cantwell 1, O'Reilly 10, Furuhashi 13, Lammers 1, nothing on the bench. So it's 52 points, takes up to 130th overall, so green arrow after green arrow, so can't complain. So we go to the results, Tom, over to you.
Yep, first game then, we've got Kilmarnock 0, Ross County 1. Simon Murray scored the goal with an assist from Danda. There was a penalty. Danny Armstrong had his penalty saved by Laidlaw, and the penalty was won by Brad Lyons, so unfortunate there for Armstrong owners. Simon Murray, he scored the goal with his only shot on target, so it's not like he's getting lots of chances, but he's finally repaid me, so I'll take that. He did have a good pre-season. He did look good against Celtic. But I think there's perhaps others at that price point that could perhaps do a bit better. It was another clean sheet for Ross County as well. James Brown, who was just a cheap enabler for myself, he's now the fifth highest scoring defender, so I'll keep taking that. And Laidlaw is the highest scoring goalkeeper in the game with 25. They don't play Celtic or Rangers until game week 12 when they have Celtic at home. So Ross County defence might be a decent option, even if it is just for cheap enablers. For Kilmarnock, could have been a good game for the usual suspects, Danny Armstrong and Brad Lyons. I still think they're decent options going forward. And Kilmarnock also have a good fixture run as well, excluding Celtic away in game week 8. But even then, they've got one over Celtic in the past, so might not be too bad for them. Obviously, Ndab is out injured, so their defence still looks decent despite conceding in this game. I'll come to you first, Pierre. What do you reckon?
Kilmarnock overall kind of full of praise for last week, but I think that's maybe the cup game involved, two losses in the trot. I think we might all be sleeping on Ross County. I'm like yourself, Tom. I had James Brown in from the start. Doesn't that make me feel good? Because he has scored quite a lot of points for a really cheap defender. Again, I'm not... They're cheap enablers. They're just there for cheap tricks off the bench until they're through form. But upon watching Ross County, they do look a better organised side than last year. So again, it's still a very small sample size, four game weeks. But if they continue to play like this anyway, moving like all the results, I think they could be some right good players getting your team, and they probably will avoid relegation. But again, this is very early in the season. Kilmarnock, I don't really take too much from them. They did start well, good cup results. We've seen both our teams play them and how they set up. I think they'll have enough about them. I just don't know if they'll be maybe as good as we maybe thought. They might still drop points and lost games here and there. Again, we've got a question later about the Kilmarnock midfielder. We'll talk about that. But Rasai Murray, you kept him for the start, Tom. He was your cheap striker for day, game one.
Yeah.
So obviously your patience was rewarded there. But like you say, I think the problem is alternative strikers who are probably more chance of scoring. I think Donny's got one himself up front. But apart from that, I wouldn't be rushing to sell players. I wouldn't rush to sell them in. I'm just kind of still, I'd say, small sample size in these players. I want to see more game weeks, more consistency for maybe a goal in with certain players.
Donny, anything to add to that?
Yeah, so I'm an Armstrong owner. I took him in on the wild card. It's obviously a sensible choice if you span it over the course of a season. Just got unlucky. Hopefully he stays on penalties because that's really where his value lies on top of everything else that he does. I guess, as Peter said, don't get too caught up with Kilmarnock. We've given them a lot of love at the start of this season, but they have lost two in a row. I still think there is value at the back. As much as we talk about Ross County, there's value there. So probably stick with that. Up front, you know, I've got Watkins. That was a bit of a punt. Didn't pay off this game week. Might pay off on others. So we'll just have to hold that one out. But Ross County, probably another surprise outfit. Talk about Brown at the back. You know, it reminds me of the season when Iacovitti kept popping up with goals and clean sheets. So if you've got somebody like that in fantasy football, it always does well. So yeah, two teams that you might not expect a lot from over the course of a season, but from a fantasy point of view and defensively, you can always do pretty well there.
Yep, agree with that.
Just on Brown, before we move on, Tom, is this his play attacking fullback? And I've noticed as Fuchs has dropped, he's getting a lot of extra points for the tackles and interceptions. So he has a kind of point magnet. He's all action. So I find he's only 4.2% owned as well. So I think he's a right good wee enabler, cheap enabler at the back, having your team coming in and out. Sorry, on you go.
That's got Livingston 1, St Mirren 1. De Lucas scored for Livingston with an assist from Sinagri. For St Mirren, it was Nachmani that scored with an assist from Gogic. In terms of the fixture itself, there's no big sort of standout stats-wise. It seems to be different names for Livingston. Again, there isn't a talisman. And a last-minute goal did deny their clean sheet. However, De Lucas does look like a decent option. He is the top-scoring defender in the game. He's only 2.5 million and he's on 27 points. I'm not too sure if it's just a purple patch or if he is a decent long-term option. Time will tell, and I'll be interested to hear what your feedback is, but at that price, he could be worth a gamble. In terms of St Mirren, No clean sheets for St Mirren so far this season. Strain, I feel, is a much less attractive option than he was last season. He's not returning like he was, and obviously his price is a lot higher than it was last season, so he's an avoid for me. Kilty missed a big chance. He is the fifth highest scoring midfielder in the game, and had he scored that goal, he possibly could be up to second. And with O'Hara out, he's probably the only St Mirren player I'd consider at this stage. The fixtures are a little bit mixed. They've got Motherwell away, Hearts at home, Kilmarnock away, Rangers at home, and Ross County away, but perhaps he could be used as part of a bench trick, or maybe just hold off and see how things develop with St Mirren. What would you reckon, Donny?
Yeah, it was a bit annoying that they did concede at the end there. I was looking at some nice clean sheet points, but I think me and Peter have both got Penrice at the back from Livingston, and that, you know, the game I watched the week before, he was playing in quite an attacking role. So I think, as always with Livingston, you do get value at the back. So it's just whether you go with the right one in the right week, whether that works out. I think you're right about St Mirren. They're just not clicking the same at the moment. I don't know if that's just with O'Hara being out or not. But Kilty is a good substitute if you're looking for that O'Hara replacement, because he took the penalty in the last game. So certainly one, if you're, you know, withering between Armstrong, Boyle, you know, he's one to think about there. But I guess neither team will be happy with the result. But I think Livingston defence is your best place to go. St Mirren, maybe that midfield spot, whether it's Kilty or O'Hara. You must be back quite soon. I think it was only going to be out for a few weeks, so I would keep an eye out for that one. But they're still riding high, St Mirren, so there's still value to be had.
Peter, anything to add there?
Yeah, St Mirren, I'm not really interested in anybody apart from O'Hara right now. Their defence is very leaky, so I don't want to go there. I think they're quite expensive defence because their season was so good last year, so you can get cheaper probably elsewhere. O'Hara, if he comes back, he has got that talismanic figure about him and penalties, free kicks a lot. So once he's back, and if he's back, I think that's one I've been kind of waiting space to get in. Livingston, like I said, and same as yourself, Donny, I went for the wrong defender, but I think, same as yourself, it was eye test with Penrice, it looked really attacking. I think over the space of the season, I would like to hope that we're proved right, that he will be probably return more points than your man, DeLucas, but well, we'll remain seen. I don't want to double up in defence, so I'm not bringing one in to change him again, so I'll just settle what I've got. He'll be sitting the bench, a bench trick player for the time being. Apart from that, they've not both set the season on fire so far, so again, it's just playing the long game with these two players. If you want to play them in, if so, if not, I'd use the bench trick for both of them. But apart from that, I'm not particularly interested in any of the players. Points are spread out.
Yeah, definitely. Our next fixture then, we've got St Johnstone 2, Dundee 2. For St Johnstone, Kukurevi, probably butchered that one, scored a brace with an assist from Carey and another assist from Luke Robinson. For Dundee, Scott Tiffany scored with an assist from Bakayoko, and the second goal was scored by Ricky Lamy with an assist from Owen Beck. Kukurevi, the St Johnstone player, changed the game for them when he came on at 54 minutes. Game week 1 and 2, he only got 1 point per game week. So he could just be a one-week wonder, so don't get too excited about that. Something to keep an eye on there. For Dundee, Scott Tiffany had the most shots on target with 3. He scored the opener. Him and Bakayoko are both on 15 points. Tiffany is more expensive at 4.3 million compared to Bakayoko, who's only 3.5. I think both would be decent third striker options. You may as well go cheap as the low budget options seem to be keeping pace or even exceeding the expectations of the expensive strikers, obviously excluding Kyogo. Likes of Maeda and Duke just aren't really doing it just now. The only risk is one of the expensive guys may start to find form. Shanklin's another one to add to that, but the form just isn't there just now. For St Johnstone, it's probably still an avoid for me. There's no clear talisman, but Dundee does offer some cheap enablers. Owen Beck, he's only 2.5 million. He's got 15 points so far. I think he's a good option to have in terms of the bench trick, because he is one of these attacking fullbacks as well. short-term fixture run isn't great. They've got Celtic, St Johnstone and Rangers next, so perhaps either use them as part of a bench trick or hold off until after the Rangers game. What do you reckon, Donny? Anything to add to that one?
Yeah, Dundee will be disappointed to have let that one slip. That's the kind of games that if they're going to stay up, they need to get all 3 points. St Johnstone is still a total leave. There's nothing in that team that I'd be looking at. And as you say, they play Rangers next. Dundee, I've got the guy Bakayoko in my team. He was 3.3 million originally and he's played every game. He's now 3.5 million. So a lot of people are jumping on him. The only reason he didn't come on for me was because Lennon Miller managed to get 8 points this game week. So I had six left on the bench. But he is an attractive player. He's getting the game time and his price point is there in terms of the third striker. It's a shame that Scott Tiffany's class as a striker in the game. I think they've missed a trick there. I think he's more of a midfielder. And had that been the case, he would have probably found his way into my team at the start of the season. But there's not much from either team. You know, I think there's better assets, you know, looking at the rest of the league. But there is gems in that Dundee team. You're just going to have to go with some game weeks that don't do anything. And well, you're just going to have to ride that out. But St Johnstone leave in my eyes.
Yep. Peter, you got any Dundee assets?
Dundee ass? I agree with Dorian. There's not much for these two teams I'd like to have in right now. Now there's full of cheap players who are playing. I looked through the team, like you've got Ballantyne, that's 2.2 midfield. They've got a lot of cheap defenders, St Johnstone, but there's probably value elsewhere. If these teams do hit or a wee bit of form, then maybe you can go there. I like Bakayoko. I think it's cheap enabler for a striker. I've got Tawaga from Hearts, who's really not getting the game time right now. I thought he would be eventually become the first choice striker. So maybe an easy sidestep move for me 1 week when I've got nothing, no transfers, taking a plan, get him in because he's pretty much starting. And obviously, you mentioned yourself, Tom Beck, another attacking fullback at that price, just takes away, leave him on the bench, you might get every so often, you might get a return from him. So apart from the names you mentioned, I would probably avoid both these teams. There's cheaper assets elsewhere, players who are playing better teams with better form.
Yep. Next up then, we have Rangers 0, Celtic 1. Goal came from Kyogo with an assist from O'Reilly. Kyogo and Danilo were the only players on the pitch to get more than a single shot on target, and both had two. Danilo and Maeda both missed big chances, and Kyogo missed two big chances, so could have been some more goals there. Amazingly, Celtic didn't concede despite having a centre-back pairing of new boy Lager Bielka and Liam Scales, and this is the second clean sheet of the season. Johnson's back at left back, so he's looking good, so perhaps that can strengthen the defence. For Rangers, there was no Barisic, but he did play for Croatia against, I think it was Latvia, in the international break, so it looks like he should be fit to come back. However, there has been more injuries. Abada was injured with Israel and has returned back to Glasgow for treatment, so keep an eye on the presser this week to see what the status is there. Kyogo and O'Reilly, probably the two Celtic players to have just now. Perhaps you could punt on a defender. I think probably the worst case scenario is they'll keep pace with the cheap ones, and Scales probably, I don't know his price, but Scales is probably pretty cheap, but he will be out of the starting 11 pretty quickly as soon as anyone comes back from injury. For Rangers, I just feel like they have too many attackers. None of them are really doing a lot. I think probably Tav and Barisic still remain the kind of go-to players. That's about it for me. Peter, you got some gloating today?
No. The last week is already, it's a week's past. It's now in the past. We'll talk fantasy here. Rangers first. Donna, you can bring more of me. I'm looking for the identity of the team, and I'm kind of worried of the players I've got on my team. I'm looking at Cantwell, I'm looking at Lammers, and I'm going, oof, do these players going to play week in, week out? Is Cantwell going to play a deep role when he's not playing Celtic in Europe? I don't know what's going to happen. Tavernier, does he look slightly as if he's catching up with him in this position, especially in this formation that Beale insists on attacking fullbacks at his edge? So it's one to watch. Luckily, we do have early team news this week, so I think that's where my transfer will be. Celtic,
Bob Thomas, probably you. I did not expect the result. I'm more delighted than just the fact that it wasn't a Pacers. I think I expected to get beat quite handily, but that's all means, I suppose. Kyogo's probably untouchable. O'Reilly's the best midfielder option. I still wouldn't touch Celtic's defence. As you said, there's cheaper players will probably keep pace for him throughout the season. Johnson does look good if he's fit. He's just back from injury, mind you. I wouldn't be all in on Scales or Lagerbite because somebody could come back fit like Carter Vickers or Narowski shortly and they'd be lost their place. It is still the Celtic third position for me. If Abada's out, like you said, I'd be listening for the pressers because that would probably give opportunity for Yang or Palmer to come in as a wing role, I think. So Abada hasn't exactly started the season on fire or claimed the shutter of his own. So Dundee's next game at home. If one of these wingers can come in and can I maybe hit the ground running, it could be positioned up for grabs. I think the price isn't on top. Maybe there is no Palmer or Wang's price, Tom.
Only enough now.
No, anymore. I'm assuming they'll be cheaper than Abada because Abada's kind of in this game for a couple of years. So it's one to watch. If Abada's got an injury, it's longer a couple of weeks, and one of these guys come in and do well, then that could be your go-to third option. Defender, yeah, fair enough, go for a defender, but I think, as Donnie mentioned before, they're not getting as clean sheets you'd expect from Celtic Rangers, so I think we can go elsewhere and risk it, unless the defender, per se, is on penalties or free kicks, like Tavernier is. That's all you've got to have in your pick. No gloating, there we go.
Okay, Donnie, on to you.
Okay, well, I'll talk about the game for a little bit. Celtic, fair enough, they did keep a clean sheet, albeit Rangers scored twice. I'll give you one of the goals being disallowed, but another one we'll leave it. 2 weeks has passed. So, I was just listening to the previous podcast, and I was so buoyant and excited about the game, and it's amazing how quickly that can change. But I think Rangers are in a dilemma at the moment. They are in a slump, and I think anyone can see that. I think the PSV sucked life out of that team. I mean, okay, it was always an uphill task. To go over there and try and get something, but the manner in which they got beat was pretty much embarrassing. And going into that Celtic game, they just reverted to old, and just so disappointing them. And they had their chances. I mean, it was probably the worst Celtic back four you're going to see in a long time, and you know, didn't make anything of it. Celtic, you knew what they were going to do: put long balls down the channels and cross it in, and you know. Before they did score, they had a couple of chances. So the writing's on the wall, and it was just disappointing. From a fantasy point of view, I mean, yeah, Kyogo is untouchable. He's the only guy that's really reliable at the moment. I did actually toy making changes and see if it was worth putting Mieda as the second striker. I think with that Dundee, Livingston, Motherwell, I don't see any troubles in those games. I wondered if that was any worthwhile, but I think with making a wild card, I don't really need to make that many wholesale changes. But I said the week before that, you know, there's certain players not playing well, and to get to where I wanted to get to, it would have taken weeks. So taking out Lammers, taking out Turnbull, taking out Abada, you know, I had to do that in one fell swoop. So that's what I did. I stuck with Cantwell, you know, I'll give him this week. See how that pans out. But O'Reilly was the one that I really wanted to get in my team. He was top assists last season, if I remember rightly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Minutes are good. He'll score now and again and get the bonus points. I think he's probably the one that you want in there. Peter, I know you just touched on that. Defensively, Tav, I mean, okay, he's had two bad games, but he's also had a 30-pointer in there as well. So just be careful with that one. Certainly wouldn't ship him out just yet. On the other side, Barisic, I expect him to come back. And something that is worth noting is that for the European team, Yilmaz wasn't in the European squad.
Well, I noticed that. That's crazy.
So he obviously just doesn't fancy him. And you know, when he's injured or not injured, he doesn't seem to get anywhere near that position. And Sterling got the game against Celtic. So I think Barisic is probably going to get nailed. Whether the European games take their toll and there will be a rotation there, you're just going to have to watch out. But you certainly get the team news this game week, and then Aberdeen in a couple of weeks, there's early team news there as well. So you can play about with it. But yeah, I was just gutted. It was just, I've seen that game before. And you know, for me, the writing's on the wall. I think the next bad result we get, and that'll be it. It's almost inevitable, but we'll see. Stranger things have happened, but as I say, I've seen this book too many times.
Just on that first, for Tom comes in and see the rotation, Donny, I don't think he can afford to rotate. I think he'll play his strongest team for now. I think he's got to, because as you said, one bad result and he's probably gone.
It's too many strikers, and that is the problem. Well, from a fantasy point of view, you can't pin on any single one. Roof's probably your best bet at the moment. But yeah, he needs to. I don't think he's picked the same 11 yet.
No, he's not. That's a thing online talk about.
We can, so he needs to just go with it. He spent a lot of money up front, and that's one of the areas we are lacking. There's just no identity to the team, no sort of style of play, which you had under Van Bronckhorst, although it was rotten, you at least had a style of play there. And that's not been the case. So to get off to this sluggish start, and having, you know, knocked out the cup final last season and letting Celtic win a treble, you know, these things are unforgivable to the fans, and you know, you don't last long if you can't produce the goods, and that's where he's sitting at the moment. But plenty of time to turn it around. It's only 4 points. You know, Celtic could draw, lose, and you know, you're back in the race. But you know, to have this start to the season, not so sure. But fantasy wise, you know, we'll talk a lot about Rangers and Celtic over the course of a season. It's just one of those games where, you know, we've probably all got Kyogo, maybe a Celtic clean sheet, and you move on.
Yep. So just you were asking earlier, Peter, Yang is 4.9 million. Palma is 4.7. There's also Bernardo at 4.7. And there's also James Forrest at
4.8.
What's
home there as well? Home?
Home is, he's a lot cheaper because he's defensive mid, 4.3. All of them are less than 1% owned.
Yeah, so they're all not. It's not hard to get to them if anyone steals a march and gets that wing position itself. They're easy to get to, so it's not too unachievable. Right, good. Okay. Want to watch for this
next fixture then, we have Aberdeen 0, Hibs 2. For Hibs, it was Lafondre that scored with an assist from Newell, and Doidge scored with an assist from Hanlon. Aberdeen, for me, seem to be an avoid just now. If they're playing like this at the minute, then surely it's probably going to get worse when the European football kicks off, which is only next week. So an avoid for me. Might be controversial, that. Hibs seem to have turned it around. Perhaps a new manager bounce. It was a nice clean sheet for Stevenson for me. Nice surprise. I was considering getting rid of him. I didn't end up getting rid of Josh Campbell, but I see he's back in the starting 11, so I may regret that as the season continues. Doidge also hit the woodwork in this fixture. Him and Lafondre are the second and third highest scoring strikers in the game. Just a wee breakdown, Doidge is only 4.8 million. He's had 2 goals, 2 assists and 3 bonus and is on a total of 24 points. Lafondre, a bit cheaper at 4 million. He's got 3 goals but no assists and no bonus and he's on 19 points. He seems to be more of an impact sub. He's not really starting games, so Doidge might be the better option, particularly if Hibs then kick on. As I mentioned, the other striker options, excluding Kyogo, don't seem to be doing it. So if you're getting Doidge, at least you're getting someone that's got a bit of form. And he was doing well in a poor-performing Hibs team. So perhaps as if things can continue, so then he might start to score a few more points as well. Fixtures are not bad in the short term. They've got Kilmarnock away, St Johnstone at home and Dundee at home. But then they do face Hearts, Rangers and Celtic all in a row. So if you're going to get him, I'll probably get him just now. And then perhaps you're looking at a bench trick a bit later on. That's it for me. Peter, can I interest you in Doidge?
Well, I'm kind of looking for a third striker kind of alternative. So I do like, is it Lafondre? I do like him to sit on the bench and coming on and being like a fox-to-box type player, maybe get the odd goal. The Hibs situation will need to wait and see a new manager coming in, so I'm sure he'll be impressed. Now, the manager, I know everybody thinks, Ange Postecoglou, because he's Australian, but he does seem to have this the same similar, like,
ethos of we want to play attack, attractive football. But I think every manager would say that regardless. They're not going to say we want to play turgid defensive football, do they? So we'll have to wait and see how it actually settles. Boyle, again, is always on the periphery of this player I want to bring in. It depends how this he sets up tactically and where he plays in this position. Because I like to have Boyle in. I think Donny made a plan at some point to bring Boyle in a couple of transfers time. Obviously, Wildcard done that at that point. Boyle, I know, I think we all agree, Boyle will go nuts at one point in this season and be three or four games of chop where he's on fire. I would like to be on him when that happens. We take to be left behind. The striker situation, like you said, Tom, yep, I want probably a striker who I can rely on just getting constant points off the bench. You're not going to get a goal every week, but if he can score a goal every second or third week, it's your cheap striker. It's one to think about between them and Bacayaro. Aberdeen are suffering from the same Sunday curse that seems to happen to every Scottish football team when they play Thursday, Sunday, if they haven't got a squad to cope with. So I've got Devlin, he's another one I could probably look to get rid of at some point. He's a bit more expensive than some other cheap defenders that I've got. Again, he's not the most pressing matter on my team, so maybe a couple week or two and see how that happens and maybe move him out. But Hibs is a wait-and-see new manager style. Aberdeen, I'd probably avoid him because European football, and the ones we relied on last year, Majowski and Nuke, haven't exactly hurt ground yet. And I had Clarkson last year, was quite reliable. And again, his form's not been the best yet either.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yep, Donny, anything to add to that one?
Yep, so Hibs got permission from Celtic to sign an Australian manager, so that was good. Boyle, I was always cautious of Boyle at the start of the season. I felt he was maybe brought in too soon because they had these European games. I think they wanted to use him as a talisman in those games, or the sort of games that were getting him up to fitness. I think he's there now. And on that basis, I took him in on the wild card. He got 5 points, so he must have got bonus points or other points to bring him up to that five. He also scored for Australia, so he's definitely back to his best. And yeah, one team will suffer over the next few weeks, I imagine, at the hands of Boyle. Aberdeen is probably a bit down on Aberdeen in the city at the moment. They obviously haven't won in the league, and they got knocked out of the Europa League, but they haven't really strengthened, I think, is the main problem. You know, they've got a new defence. You know, Clarkson, they signed on a permanent. Shinney, they signed on a permanent. You know, these were players that were there last season, so they're not really any better than what they had. Shinney's a year older. I don't think he's what, you know, Aberdeen fans will remember. Clarkson, for whatever reason, hasn't really taken off. It's somebody we championed at the start of the season, and the defence just hasn't gelled together. So for me, that's a void. I do have McGarry. I thought he was quite good in the European game, so I took him in because I thought everyone else was on Devlin. Yeah, so I do have him. as a defender, but the way that they're going to have Sunday, Thursday games, it's going to be difficult to manage. They've got Rangers in a few weeks as well. So it's a team we had high hopes for. Unfortunately, it's just not happening. Hibs, they'll be pleased with the win, and with a new manager, they will expect a bounce there. And fingers crossed, Boyle is at the centre of it all.
Yep. Our final fixture then, we have Hearts 0, Motherwell 1. For Motherwell, it was Slattery that scored with an assist from Spittle, and Paul McGinn seen a red card. For Hearts, they just can't seem to score. They've only got two goals so far this season, and both of them were scored in the opening league game against St Johnstone, so nothing to write home about there. The defence isn't bad. They've only conceded two goals. I'm happy with Clark in goal in my own team. And just now, I think if I was wildcard, I'd probably be looking at Laidlaw or Hemming. But I'll stick with Clark for now. I've got other fires to put out. He's not really a fire. For Motherwell, Slattery, is ticking along. I don't think there's any other Motherwell options I'd consider unless you don't have Spittle. Spittle's doing well. Regardless, he seems to be a bonus point magnet. So I think 8 points this week. I'll take that. This was the first clean sheet of the season. So not too interested in the Motherwell defence just now. And they've got quite a few strikers out injured, so difficult to kind of pinpoint a sort of focal point in the team. What do you reckon, Donny?
Yeah, so Motherwell, joint top of the league, 3 wins in a row. So although you're a bit down on them there, they certainly have form to go on. Defensively, I don't have any Motherwell defenders. Whether I look to fix that with the Aberdeen defender that I'd mentioned there, that might be something I look at. But one takeout from this game was Lennon Miller, which I've seen in a lot of teams prior to my wild card, was just that cheap enabler. I believe he's only 16, and my worry was that he just wouldn't get the game time. I think he's played every game this season. And albeit he hadn't really done anything until this game week, he managed to return 8 points. So as somebody put on the bench, you will get a return out of him. So I was pleased with that. If you can't have a Slattery or a Spittle, then he is one that you might want to add in there. Hearts, as you say, just it's not the Hearts of old. There's, again, another team that's not clicking. They've now got Naismith in charge because they're out of Europe. I don't know if that makes a difference or not. God knows what's going on behind the scenes there. But for the players they've got, they should be doing better. And a game at home, Motherwell, you would be expecting them to, you know, at least be scoring, and they're not. They're losing goals. You know, there's nothing in the middle. They're a far cry from what they were last year, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. Motherwell, as you say, it's hard to pinpoint, you know, anywhere in their team that it's all coming through. There's a question on Spittle, which we can talk about, but as I say, Motherwell, one of the form teams, there is value there. It's just you're going to have to find it and just stick with it. Hearts, you know, Shankland will come good sooner or later, but right now they're failing to show it. So I guess it's disappointing for the Jambos.
Yep.
Yep, sorry. Well, Hearts changed their manager well this week, is that right? They changed their manager from assistant manager to manager. So two teams in, better get new managers in place. I thought Donnie was going to steal my joke there, so I'm glad you didn't do that. Yeah. Thanks, Donnie. Clark, I've got Clark. I've no interest in Lundells. I think Shanklin will come good eventually, but they don't look like a team with a proper identity. I've obviously got Tagawa up front as well, and he's not done much either. So, again, I mentioned that a couple of times in this podcast. Need to replace the striker. Motherwell, Lennon Miller, 17. Donnie, he turned 17 over the course of the start of the season. And I've been watching him more in great detail because I know I've got him, and he does look a tidy player. I thought his minutes may have been managed as well, but
yeah,
he hasn't looked out of place in that team. Doesn't look like a boy anymore. He looks like a member of the rest of them. He looks quite influential. He's very confident. So to me, at that price, he's playing enough every minute. He's starting to return, and he's just going to be a set and forget. He can plug him in if the fixtures don't look dodgy, and if not, you can put him on the bench.
Yeah.
Spittle got a question later. I think they'll look at the back. I've still got Suari injured. I'm waiting to hear the news on that as well. He could potentially move out, but I think he was close to the turn, so I'll wait and see on that one. Motherwell, I think, just looked good. He's got him playing very well. And Hearts are very pricey, so if Tolby hit a decent run of form, I'd be kind of avoiding Motherwell. I think he can kind of get value most places, Motherwell. They've got an injury crisis, I think, up front, Donny mentioned. And they've got a young guy playing at left back because Suarez out. So that's one to watch as well in case he doesn't get his position back. But apart from that, I'm happy to run over all assets and kind of avoid Hearts assets to kind of hit a bad form.
Yep. Rounding off then, we have our top 10 for the game week. Coming at number one is Laidlaw with 14 points. Obviously, the Ross County goalkeeper. Joint top, really, Kukurevi, the St Johnston player, who perhaps is a one-week wonder. Lewis Miller, 11 points. O'Reilly at Celtic, 10 points. Tiffany, 10 points. De Lucas, the high-scoring defender, 10 points. Slattery, 9. Jack Baldwin, 9 points. Spittle, 8 points. And Paul Hanlon, 8 points, which gives us one goalkeeper, 4 defenders, 3 mids, and 2 forwards. I think given that Celtic and Rangers were playing each other, probably expecting a few names in there that we wouldn't normally see. Probably nothing too surprising. Anything? You guys got anything to add there?
No, it was a strange game week with the way the clean sheets fell and the goal scorers. You know, the template from last season hasn't really taken shape yet this season, and most of those names we've missed out on. So if you hit it, well done. If not, you're just going to have to be patient, I think.
Yep. The lack of striking options this year compared to last year is quite the turn 180 into it. We had like 3 or 4 players, and yeah. Van Veen sneaked in. Nobody can have them to near the end, but yeah, it's different this season. Nobody's going to hit the ground running yet, so I have to just kind of wait and see how it all pans out. Right, Tom, cheers. Donny, you've got a dive delving into the next couple of fixtures.
Yeah, so we've had an international break, so it's just kind of going to look at what's coming up next. So when I'm looking at my fantasy team, I only tend to look 3 games in advance, just so that you can see, you know, teams that are either playing Rangers or Celtic or teams that avoid Rangers and Celtic, and you can sort of work it out from there. So so much can change in the Scottish game that I think 3 weeks is probably enough. So I'm just going to run through each team, the next 3 fixtures, and my take from there. So we'll start off, it's just alphabetical. It's Aberdeen. They have got Hearts away, Ross County at home, and Rangers away. So, you know, they're tough fixtures, the European games in between. They don't have league form at the moment. And as we touched on, there's no real stars in their team, Miovski, but Hearts away, Rangers away, his chances are going to be limited. As we said, it's probably a team best to avoid. Celtic, they've got Dundee at home, Livingston away, Motherwell away, and I think that's perfect fixtures for them. I think they should get plenty of goals, probably some clean sheets, and you know, I would expect a big win this weekend against Dundee. So load up as best you can with your Celtic assets. Dundee, on the flip side, they obviously play Celtic away, Kilmarnock at home, and Hibs away. So obviously, it's not great fixtures, but as we mentioned in the game week review, you've got Bakayoko as a good bench trick. Forward, certainly in my team, and we expect returns maybe in those last 2 games. Also, not so much against Celtic. Hearts, they've got Aberdeen at home, St Mirren away, Ross County away. I think they're just on a bad run of form at the moment, but they, you know, Europe's out the window, so they should be able to focus on their league campaign now. Cochrane is in a lot of teams. He was who I took in on my wild card. Whilst that didn't work out in the previous game week, he obviously is a talent and will get returns. And Shankland, you know, he's going to be due returns. So if you've got him, I would probably just be patient. Nothing else really in that Hearts team. Moving on to Hibs, they've got Kilmarnock away, St Johnstone at home, and Dundee at home. I think they're great fixtures. With a new manager in charge, you should see a decent turnaround. It was defensive where they struggled at the start of the season. I should expect improvements there. And as I mentioned, Boyle, I think, could kick on after this international campaign. I think he is back to where he should be. Kilmarnock, they have got Hibs at home, Dundee away, and St Mirren at home. I think there's still value there. As I say, they probably peaked too soon for a lot of us. With that Rangers and Celtic results, but you know, if you've got your Kilmarnock assets, just hang on to them. You know, Watkins might not be the next Kevin Van Veen, but you know, you can easily move to somebody similar if that doesn't work out. Livingston, they have got Ross County away, Celtic at home, St Johnstone away. Again, apart from the Celtic game, it's two good fixtures, and the defence always does well in the game, so I think that's where you would pin your hopes there. Motherwell have got St Mirren at home, Rangers away, Celtic at home, so they play both Old Firm in the next three games. So although we're talking about their form, that you know is going to be dangerous. We talked about Miller. He's probably the only person that I would look to have. I think any defender that you've got, you know, that's maybe something to change in the upcoming weeks. Rangers, well, they've got St Johnstone away, Motherwell at home, and Aberdeen at home. St Johnstone away is probably not the game you want when you're down in your luck. You know what to expect on Saturday afternoon. It'll be 10 men behind the ball and just you know, trying to break it down. I would stick with Tav. He has got these 30-pointers in him. So I would just be patient there. I mentioned when we talk about it, probably the only other form player at the moment is Roof. But again, you're going to get so tied up with the amount of forwards we've got that it's a lottery. And again, that was one of the reasons that I did my wild card because you could pick any Ranger forward and I don't think you'd you know, have a consistent return. So maybe just avoid them for the moment. Ross County, Livingston home, Aberdeen away, Hearts at home. Again, fixtures. It's probably hard to pin fixtures on Ross County because they can have good results that you don't expect. But defence is your best bet there. St Johnstone, I've got Rangers at home, Hibs away, Livy at home. Again, it's all tough games whenever you've got St Johnstone playing. If you wanted to look at it, it would be the cheap defender, but there's enough other options. I'll just stay clear of them. And finally, St Mirren, I've got Motherwell away, Hearts away, Killy away. It's good fixtures. They just need the form. Kilty, as I mentioned, is on pens in the absence of O'Hara. Whether O'Hara's coming back, we'll just have to wait and see. I think if he does come back, I would be looking to get him into my team. But defensively, as Peter mentioned earlier, the sort of paid a price on the premiums for having a good season last year that it's too difficult to have a St Mirren defender in your team. So that's just looking at the next three fixtures. As I say, that's what I look at when I'm building my transfers. You guys, is there anything that you've noticed in these next three games that you're looking at target, Peter?
Hibs, Hibs, I just think it's a perfect storm. We keep on mentioning Boyle, you've mentioned the strikers, Tom. I think we'd be remiss not to talk Hibs up, talk about the strikers being the top two or three goal scorers. Boyle going to go nuts and then don't bring him in. Rangers early team news, so I think that helps this week. But if I've got Lammers and Cantwell playing, I think that's fine. I can go elsewhere. But I really don't want to miss out on Boyle. I'm thinking looking next week when he's playing, obviously, St Johnstone at home, but we always keep on saying, oh, Boyle's kind of fixture-proof, and what would be that it would go a week before that. So, but for thought, the rest of the teams you mentioned, Don, it's like the fixtures are kind of mixed bag. I would always back Celtic Rangers just to be kind of fixture-proof. Are you going to have the outliers now when they drop points? But you're going to rely on them more often than not. And I'd like to see how Hibs go. Team-dependent, that could be the punt this week, the Hibs striker or Hibs midfielder, Boyle.
Yeah. Tom, you always had reservations about Boyle, but do you think it's time to get him in your team?
I'm not as fussed on Boyle, to be honest. I'm more looking at Doidge, I think. For me, yep. Kilmarnock away, tricky fixture given their defensive form. But if they look good at that point, then I think getting Doidge in for St Johnstone at home and Dundee at home could pay off.
How much did you say Doidge was? Do you remember?
I think he's only 4.8.
That's a good thought, I guess.
I don't think I've got any budget, so this week I probably have to have that in mind. Probably get rid of Abada since he's going to be injured, and probably have to go for someone a bit cheaper. So then I would have the money to upgrade either my third striker option, or it would be just be a case of if Lammers isn't doing anything, probably just goes from Lammers to Doidge. That's probably the plan, yeah.
You've also got Europe. Europe kicks off next week, so you're going to have to factor that in. You know, we'll talk about that next week's pod, but that, you know, certainly for Aberdeen, they're going to struggle. Rangers have got a tricky starter in their campaign. I don't know who Celtic have got first.
Leonard.
Well, gets the worst one out of the way, I guess. But that's going to have an impact as well. And then also we've got a lot of Sunday fixtures for these teams. So yeah, that's it. Just looking at the next few games and you know, looking at where to target or where to avoid. So all in on Hibs, maybe move on Motherwell and just hope Rangers can get back to form from a fantasy point of view.
Just fantasy point of view. Hold on. Well. Don, Tommy's anti-Australian agenda because Ange left. The reason why I bring Boyle into his team. Right, that is us. So we've got one question, I think, from Melvino. This once came since I have looked. Donnie, just the one?
Yeah.
Right, let me look and see. Right. This is Melvino at 1968. Melvino 1968. So it's a two questions in the one. Is Scales a rotation risk in the Celtic defence? So come to you, Tom. I'm thinking in short term.
Yeah, he is a risk short term. I mean, in terms of like rotation, if he is hinting at the fact that obviously Celtic have Europe midweek, is he going to get rotated? No, I think he'll start every game until someone can come in and take his place and he's back to the bench. I reckon he'll be the one to go rather than Lager Bielka. So you could go for him, but it would only maybe be for, what do you reckon, a couple of game weeks before someone's back fit again?
It'll depend on, I keep forgetting the that Phillips last minute, so he's not coming up here to play second fiddle. If he's fit, I think he plays with Lagerbell. He's the one that's signed. Now, the only thing I would say is, Rodgers did tinker with a 3-5-2 when he was at Leicester, so there's no way he might put the three to back, and Scales played left there back three for Aberdeen last year. Quite impressive, I think. So if he wants to go down that route, but again, that's him using all his fit centre-backs and he risks having an injury and none there. And obviously in the European team, there's no Noroki, but there is Carter Vickers. So that would lead me to believe Carter Vickers is probably closer to fitness than Noroki that he's brought to the team. So that's what he watched there. I think he'll probably play this weekend. I don't think he's going to risk a new partnership pairing with Dundee at home. But on the other side of that coin, would you rather just get Phillips in up to speed and play one game? He's going to play him against Fernand. So... pressers again the Rogers, I think, just to see if he gives anything away about that. You any thoughts on the Scales rotation, Donny?
No, I mean, you get team news game week 6, game week 7, so you've only really got this Dundee game to navigate in terms of punting on him. He would be the go-to, obviously it's the cheapest way in and it would be easy to shift to any other defender outside of him, but you know, I suppose Dundee at home is, you know, you've got a piece of that action and that's probably the easiest way to get there. You could risk it if it pays off, even for one game week, you'll at least have the team using the other two game weeks that you can come off them quite easily. But it's a good question, one that I would be keeping an eye on as well. So just look out for the press conferences, see if there's any indication. I'd be probably the same. I think he might just play the same lineup just to get through this and see where they are. Come fine, Ord.
Okay, and the second part of his question was, rank these midfielders in order of fantasy preference, Armstrong, Spittle and O'Hara. Cheers, lads. So come to you first, Donny. They three, I know what order would you have on your team?
Well, I've got Armstrong, and providing he's still on penalties, he's certainly there. I would have O'Hara if he was fit. I think he would be my number one, and although Spittle is a good fantasy asset, I think the guys that have got Miller as their cheap midfielder, they're not going to switch him out. So I would say O'Hara and then Armstrong and then Spittle, and then you should also have Boyle in there as well, so don't overlook him.
Just like to note that Clarkson's absence there, obviously last season he's done well.
Just failed to deliver, but so, you know, the penalties is the premium. And that's what would put those two ahead. Spittle doesn't take penalties, and because you've got a cheaper player who is performing pretty decent, there's no reason to change it out. So that's the reason behind that one.
Tom, order of preference?
I'm going Spittle number one, just because of those bonus points. Also, with the lack of strikers, I think he seems to be playing more attacking as well. The only downside is Rangers and Celtic in the next three fixtures. So depends on what sort of time frame we're talking about. I'd probably go O'Hara after that, and then Armstrong third.
Okay. Well, I agree with Donny. I would go O'Hara, Armstrong, Spittle, and pretty much the exact same reasons. If they're all fit and ready, O'Hara's been my team. Armstrong on penalties, and the Spittle situation is I've got Lennon Miller. I don't want to double up my midfield. Yeah. He's a cheap enabler, so I would happy to. I wouldn't have two midfielders from Motherwell on my team anyway, so one in and out. But I do agree, Tommy has played further up top, but how long it'll last for if they get players back fit, I'm not too sure. Hey, but it's all about opinions. Right, so we'll go to the fixtures and then we will discuss our captain, vice captain transfer plans going forward. I think we've pretty much all mentioned it as we go forward, right? So we've got one early game on Saturday, and that's St Johnstone Rangers. So that's the only team you will get. So pretty much for Rangers players, because I don't aim to love St Johnstone players. And then we have the rest are all 3 o'clock start to kick off. So Ross County, Livingston, Motherwell, St Mirren, Kilmarnock, Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen, and Celtic, Dundee. So upon hearing that, Tom, what is your captain, vice captain, and transfer plans for the weekend?
Captain Sav, vice captain Kyogo, transfer plans. Have to find out what the situation is regarding Abada. It's either going to be Abada or Ndaba. I'll probably have to go. So keep an eye on pressers there, getting rid of one of them. If I'm thinking about Doige as the third striker option, it'd probably have to be Abada for someone a bit cheaper. Just a case of who. Be interested to see what the O'Hara situation is, if he's back. If he's going to be back fit, if he's going to be back fit, then it'd probably be bringing in O'Hara.
Yeah.
Okay. Same question to you, Donny.
So off the back of a wild card, I shouldn't really need to make any transfers. I've got quite a settled lineup there. If I was going to target any area, I mean Watkins could become Doige, and McGarry from Aberdeen could become any other defender in the game, so I shouldn't have to make any changes unless Rangers throw up a few surprises. Fixture wise, I think Hibs have got good fixtures. Obviously, Boyle is an option there. I think Tavernier gets this game weekend as captaincy, but it might not be as stick on as we all think. But saying that, he had a 30 pointer just the other week, so that's a reminder to everyone. Vice captain Kyogo is something I think you can just leave between now and the end of the season. You're going to get your awards most weeks. So Captain Tav, Vice-Captain Kyogo, shouldn't really need to make any changes.
Okay, so I'm similar. I'm Captain Tav, Vice-Captain Kyogo. I think I'll be pretty similar unless something changes drastically in form. And the transfer will be Rangers team news dependent. I noticed Catmull was in a boot. So if Catmull's missing, I'm going straight to Boyle. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
If Catmull starts and Lammer's missing, I'll probably go into Doige or Lafondre. So again, it's just team dependent. If both of them start, then it puts me in a quandary. What do I do? Then I'm like, right, well, may I roll for next week and then maybe attack the Hibs fixture the week later. But I just wait to see the team news first. Right, guys, that is us finished. So you can get your plugs in. Donny, where can we find you?
I am at FFS underscore Donny.
Tom, where can we find you?
I'm at FFS underscore Scout.
And I'm at Fantasy Half. And as always, I will retweet the Kevin Van Veen Cup before the game week fixture start, and good luck all who's left. Tom, you're flying the flag. I think for every podcast left, everybody else is knocked out apart from you. Quite early right. In the cup. They're all knocked out. Right, guys, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you later. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.